I'm Jess.
And I'm Ryan.
And we are
the Iggy Parents.
Welcome to episode 43.
This is about puppy scams.
We sound very chipper to be talking about such a serious subject.
Well,
but
I think that is appropriate. I don't think we need to be as somber as this is, because like, if somebody's looking for this information, they're probably not in a great headspace.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe they've just got scammed. So
that's true.
Let's bring them some positivity. Tell them they are not alone. It is very easy to get scammed.
Yes.
Later in the episode, I will tell a story of a time that I got scammed, not having to do with puppies, but
a scam nonetheless.
A scam nonetheless.
Yeah, so we were inspired to do this episode because friends of ours have experienced this, and we've experienced this from a different perspective, but we'll get into that a little bit more later. So we do have a personal relation to this subject about puppy scams. First of all, let's just talk about what are we considering a puppy scam? Because there's kind of like a broad range of what someone might consider a scam. But this particular kind of scam that we're going to be talking about today is when someone, a group or a website or even just an individual, is trying to sell something, in this case, puppies, and they are using photography or videos that are not their own to trick or fool people into thinking that they will receive a puppy in this case. But at the end of the day, you end up giving a deposit or even a full payment, and then this seller disappears. So that is the kind of scam we're talking about. Fake photos or stolen photos, then they ask for a deposit or a down payment, and then they disappear. No puppy, and your money's gone.
So there's a few similarities between all of these scams that we have seen and heard about. Often they have a cheap price, so someone feels like they're getting a really good deal, and maybe there's even a story to go along with it, that this is the last puppy of a litter, and they've been there for 12 weeks, and they're passed, and they have all their vaccinations, and they're just trying to offload this dog as quickly as possible. So
the dogs are going to chime in on this subject, I think.
I know, it's very upsetting, dogs.
I know.
But there's a cheap price. It then often includes the price of getting the dog shipped to wherever you are across the states or North America or the world. They will fly the dog for you, and it's all included in the price.
And bring it to your door next day. These are all red flags that you can look for, but people still do get scammed.
They often ask for a deposit or the whole payment before you get the dog, which in our experience is not what happens. They will ask for the deposit, usually in an untraceable way. So using some sort of cash payment app, Interact e-transfer for Canadians, money transfer for Venmo or Zelle, I think is one that I saw someone talk about on a website. And these are ways for them to get the money and not have any way to pay it back. They got a payment from your credit card. You would then maybe be able to do a trace back or charge back and be able to get back the money. But the scammers know. They try and get untraceable ways of getting the money.
I wanted to talk about price as well. So, for example, in the 90s, when I was a child, we got our family dog, and we got her from an ad in the newspaper. And I remember her being really cheap, and it came from a first-time breeder. So for us, we paid, and I might be wrong about this, but I'm pretty sure it was $250 for a Jack Russell Terrier puppy. And honestly, she was happy, healthy, a great dog. And it was
lived to be 16.
Lived to be 16 and a half.
Health issues.
And yeah, didn't have any big serious health issues. So for me, I didn't have any experience with getting a puppy from a breeder other than this. And I didn't know what the market was. If $250 in the 90s was a good experience for me, then what is the going price of an Italian Greyhound in 2020 or 21? So I think that when you are looking at scams, sometimes they even try and fool you. Yes, it could be a cheap price to lure people in, or it could be a reasonable sounding price, and then they're getting even more money. So just to give some perspective, some of the scams that we've seen will offer you a puppy at your doorstep the next day for $600 to $800. That's the going rate for the puppy scams, cheap price. But an actual price, I have seen some people asking for $500 deposits, and then you're looking at thousands of dollars for the full payment. So that is more realistic when it comes to getting an Italian Greyhound puppy that is health tested and has come from a responsible breeder, etc. Again, it ranges for your area. So I'm not trying to say if you didn't pay this or if you did pay this, then you got a good dog. There's no good or bad. All dogs are great. It just is a problem when you're dealing with someone that is a scammer or potentially as well puppy mills. Maybe they're making you pay a lot more money and they're not doing all of the proper health testing and genetic testing and treating the animals properly and not overbreeding them and treating them well as they deserve to be treated.
Another common trait of the puppy scammers is that they will post in Facebook groups. So they'll find a relevant group for people that maybe are interested in Italian Greyhounds in particular, or people looking for a new dog or dog training groups. There's all kinds. Well, we know this from the state of the world that it's so easy to post whatever you want on Facebook and it has no basis in reality. So there's
truth, facts,
there's no kind of fact checking or anything that goes into them being able to post. And then let's just jump into the next section here, that there's some specific problems with a puppy scam. And one of them is that breeders are not always super tech savvy.
Right. Even a responsible, ethical breeder might not be on the internet the way that you expect them to be.
So it won't take that much to make a good-looking website that maybe even looks better than some breeder websites that you might see. And then there's a plethora of photos available, right? There's thousands of photos of our dogs available online. You just go and grab a few of those, some good-looking ones, and slap a price on it, and you can be in, quote, business. Not a great business to be in, but business nonetheless. Particularly in the last year, it's tough because there is not the expectation that you would go and see the dog. So COVID being a problem with going in person when you maybe would in the past. So they have no obligation to make sure that you get to see the dog in person. They maybe even will give you a phone number to call, and it might be them or someone in your area that's involved in the scam that has the right postal code or area code. But the situation in the world has made it even easier to make it so that a fake post looks real.
I think as well, this episode is for, I mean, maybe it's for anyone who has been scammed by a puppy scam and they're looking for ways to avoid that next time. Or maybe this episode is for someone who's never had a dog before and they're looking for tips on how to avoid puppy scams. So we hope that our story here and some of the stories that we're going to tell are going to help you to sort of pinpoint and identify issues with any interactions you're having with someone who's selling you a puppy, to help you to find the proper way of locating your dog.
So we're going to get into our story specifically with scams, but I want to just take a minute here and talk about what our experience was like getting our dog, because we did use a classified ads website. In Canada, the most popular one is Kijiji. There's Craigslist and Kijiji. So whenever I say Kijiji, you can sub in Craigslist or whatever the classified ads website is in your area.
Which I guess is the online version of a newspaper.
Exactly, yeah.
That I found my puppy from when I was a kid.
And we messaged very soon after deciding to get a dog. We looked, there was a few posted, and we did not realize how lucky we were that there were dogs, puppies becoming available at that time.
And not immediately. It wasn't like, oh, puppy for you tomorrow.
Right. No. But the puppies were already born when we started looking, which we found out after is somewhat unusual. And we talked about that in our last episode, about setting your expectations for getting a dog, that when we decided to get Phoebe, it took 5 or 6 months until there was a litter that was ready and
had the right amount of puppies for us.
Had a girl in
right?
there
we wanted
that we
a girl.
Could have. No one else in front of us in line to get the girl. Anyway, there's a lot of reasons that our situation worked out really well for us, that we sent a message to her. She had posted our breeder, Shalane. And at that time, she didn't have a website. So all we had was the Kijiji ad and the pictures that she had posted. So we were messaging back and forth with her, but this was in 2019, so we were lucky enough to get to go and see the dogs a couple weeks after. We saw them in the first week of June. They were just about a month old. It was very lucky that we got to do that, that she was close enough, right? Not everyone will have a breeder in their, even their state or their province, and they'll have to go on a bit of faith to get to see the dog or be sure that the dog is going to come. The other thing is that she was listed on the Canadian Kennel Club website, CKC. So AKC would be the same, that there's a registry of breeders listed. But in a story you'll hear later, that is maybe not even 100% true. I don't want to like put doubt in everyone's mind, but I think in an emotional purchase like this, it's worth it to be conscious of all of the things that maybe try and recognize the things in the moment that looking back would have been red flags, which is way easier said than done. It's so much easier afterwards to be like, oh yeah, they did ask for money before I got to see the dog. I should have known.
Right. And maybe there are breeders out there who require down payments for a dog. I'm not trying to say that they are scams either, but if that's the case, it's always good to ask around, ask your friends, because if this is a reputable breeder in your area, people will have heard of them and people will have dogs from them, especially if you're on Instagram or TikTok with your dog. You're able to connect with other people who have come from this breeder. So no, not every dog is on Instagram, obviously, but it is a really good way to be able to tell, oh, okay, well, this breeder does require a payment or doesn't require a payment, but then you get to see them in person. Again, we're not trying to accuse anyone of being a scam, but there are red flags, and money before you're very certain that this person is even real, that's a red flag.
The last thing I was going to say is that because of COVID, can't go and see the dogs, but there are lots of ways that you can get some kind of virtual tour. That's a thing that is happening a lot in real estate right now, right? Doing a FaceTime call or Skype or Zoom where you get to see the apartment in case of real estate, but get to see the actual puppies and sure that the dog that you're actually going to get is real. So do you want to get into the story, our kind of tertiary experience with scams?
Yeah. So we wanted to do this episode, and I didn't even think we were going to tell this story, but it is a part of puppy scams. So let's tell it from our perspective. We're going to talk to you about a general story, but there are a few names that we're going to use. So because of the one name here, the site no longer exists. So we know that it's not an active scam, but if you were scammed, then you can relate to this. Or if your picture was stolen, you can also relate to this. So for us, it all started in Facebook groups. People started recognizing our pictures in general Italian Greyhound Facebook groups. So that was pictures of Adelaide and Phoebe, and they were getting posted, and the person who was posting this said, oh, this dog is for sale or needing to be adopted or etc. Contact us and we'll let you know how to get them. So we didn't even know this at first, but people started tagging us and saying, hey, your dog picture's being used and apparently someone's selling your dog. So they were outing the scam for us by commenting and saying, hey, this is actually Iggy Adelaide and Iggy Phoebe, and this is, and would tag my name, this is her dog. And then I would comment on it and go, hey, that's my dog sitting on my chair with our branded blanket. Like, this is very clearly our dog. How can you be selling this dog? This is not yours. In some groups, it got a little bit heated because people were calling out the administrators saying, why aren't you taking down these scams? Why are you allowing for this to happen? And to that, I'm going to say it is hard to be able to sort of monitor everything all the time. So if someone's offering a puppy like this, it might get lost in the feed and that person doesn't know. And that post could be the cause of a bunch of scams. So in this case, I think that it's a really good thing for Italian Greyhound or any dog breed specific groups to have as a rule that you can't be selling dogs on the Facebook group, that the Facebook groups should be used for information. And maybe if there's recommendations of breeders, great, but not just slapping a picture and saying, this dog's for sale, contact me. That is a huge red flag if your breeder does do this. this. I've never seen a breeder do that, but be very cautious. So usually in those Facebook groups, because they're general Facebook groups, once they find out that it's a scam, the moderators of the group will remove it. And that's best case scenario. Now, another thing that happened to us was like similar pictures of Phoebe and Adelaide were being taken and put on Facebook groups called Italian Greyhounds Near Me.
A Facebook page.
A Facebook page. So that page might even still be up. Not sure. But that page was sharing our picture, again, offering these dogs for sale. And at one point, we even had someone who we know personally message the scammers and ask about these dogs. And it was the typical conversation. Sure, we'll give them to you next day, $600. And then when they started asking more questions, this person who was speaking sort of on our behalf to snoop for us, they said things like, oh, well, why do the dogs look like they're different ages? One looks older than the other. And the scammers, again, like went down a rabbit hole and tried to explain themselves and cover their butts and say things like, oh, well, actually, that one is a bit older. We didn't realize at first. We made a mistake. Yes, that one is older. This one's younger. But again, it's these little details that you can catch them in a lie really quickly. So in these cases, the best thing to do is to report those groups. It is very hard, in our experience, to get Facebook groups taken down. We shared it with all our friends. We had lots of people report. But sometimes Facebook won't take things down unless it's a celebrity.
Yeah, they have very specific requirements for it to be removed. And impersonating a dog is not in those categories. So impersonating a celebrity.
But even impersonating another person, I was having a hard time just tagging it and saying, hey, this is me. Because it is me. Like, that's my lap that the dog is sitting in and they're using that photo. Anyways, eventually people report it enough that the group gets taken down. I will say we've had more luck with people reporting or calling out the scammers in a direct photo. And then that photo gets taken away. And then they just take photos from other people and slap it on their page. So it's a vicious cycle, and it's something we would love to end. But at this point, all we can do is report. And this has been our personal experience with scams. We are not scamming ourselves, of course. And people are using our photos and tricking other people. So we even received a message from someone who told us that they were scammed by a specific puppy scam. And it was with our dog's photo. And they thought that our dog was going to be coming to their door named Ivy. And of course, they fell in love with the photo. And it's very upsetting that that did not turn into a real dog. And they just took their money.
In researching for this episode, I found a couple of sites that are actually scam registry websites. So one is called petscams.com. And this is exactly what it says, that you can search for a specific breeder or website, Facebook page, and see if anyone else has reported that page. The other one I found is called scampulse.com. That seems to be more of a general thing. So if it's a seller online of something or a credit fraud phone call or a identity theft scam, anything like that, those are on that. It's not specific to pets. I would say that's a good idea. I'm going to put those links in the show notes. If you feel like maybe you are in the middle of getting scammed, but I'm not certain that a new page is going to be up there because it's so easy to start a new page. This page could have been around for a week and they've been posting photos and you're the first person that got in contact with them and they're just going to try and get a new one. And if they get reported, they just shut down that page and start a new one, just flipping through the phone book, find a new
name. Like we said, a vicious cycle. It just keeps happening. So all we can do is report and post on something like these scam registries. So next up, we're going to share with you a story that is from a friend of ours. And we're just going to read what our friend has shared with us because they were scammed. And we want to share this real story with you, with someone who is a pet owner already. And even they were fooled. And they have lots of friends online that also got their dogs from breeders. So it can happen to anyone.
Well, we'll just say that this is from Whippet Beauty on Instagram. And
Lucy is the name of the dog.
Yeah. And they found the breeder on the Swedish Kennel Club website. So this is what I was saying, where even looking on a Kennel Club website, if maybe the owner owners of the kennel club are not super tech savvy, that even they can be tricked. But they went on the site and they believed it because it seemed so official to be a real kennel club registry. And that's even where they got their first dog. The breeder seemed really nice and they sent several pictures that looked like they were taken in the moment. Like I was saying, it's so easy to find, like, there's thousands of pictures of our dogs. And
even breeders online.
Mm-hmm.
Like, our breeder is online and people have been stealing her photos and saying, oh, look at these fresh newborn babies. But again, how do you know that it's that person selling them to you?
They had never been scammed before, so it was not even in their mind to think of whether or not this was real. They were just trying to go through the whole process of, is this the right thing for us? Should we get a dog? Is this the right time? Is this the right dog? Is this the right breed? There's so many questions when you're trying to get a new pup that I'm sad to say that this is one factor that people need to keep in mind and don't always.
Let's read it right from her perspective.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll just read this next part here. This is our direct story from Lucy's mom. This is them speaking about the breeder. She told us that she needed a deposit on $500, which is quite normal in Sweden, unfortunately, if you want the breeder to reserve a puppy for you. We knew that it was a scam when the woman said that she wanted the whole payment one day before we were supposed to drive there and see the puppy. There were small signs before we talked to her as well, but we didn't pay attention to it until after we got scammed. How she ignored some questions or made us feel like we were about to scam her. So please pay attention to every little sign that you feel that feels wrong. And don't be stupid like I and my husband were. My daughter copied the pictures that she sent and my son helped her search through them through the internet.
Which sure they did a reverse image search.
Oh, right. Yeah, you can do that. Which after a couple hours resulted in that we found a little family in the UK that posted the same pictures years ago when they got their puppy. And that was supposed to be the one that we wanted to buy. It was heartbreaking. Words can't describe the feeling, really. Not only getting scammed on money, but the worst was not actually getting our new little family member.
Right. I'm sure there was so much preparation that they had done preparing to bring this new dog into their house. And
I can't imagine. And for someone that's been wanting an Italian Greyhound for so long and has all of these friends online as well, like to know that you're not going to have your little addition to your family, I'm heartbroken for you. This is really, yeah. Currently, we are still having contact with the police and they are investigating this. They were supposed to call us yesterday, but they didn't. So I think we will at least call us this week with further information and details. But we know for sure these scammers won't scam anyone else. We would say that everyone should pay attention to every little sign that you feels wrong. Check the breeder and investigate before contacting them. That's a great tip. Even before contacting them, check them out. Don't be stressed and don't let yourself be fooled. Always check details about the puppy's parents and see if it's matching everything. Reviews, and don't send any deposits or anything before you see the puppy and know for sure that it's real. I think these are great tips. And we are going to sum up at the end of all of this, all of our tips on how to avoid scams. But I think this advice is amazing. And I'm so grateful for this story to be able to share with you. And thank you to Lucy's mom and family for sharing this with us, because it's just an example of how it can happen to you, even if you think that you've done enough researching and something feels okay. When those little red flags come up, listen to them too.
So now I just wanted to take a couple of minutes and tell a story about how I got scammed. And like I said, it's not with a dog, thankfully, but it was still an emotional purchase for me because it was when I wanted to buy a motorcycle. It was the year after I had graduated university. I had moved to Toronto to live on my own and be somewhat independent. A new apartment that was mine and renting. And it was something that I had been wanting to do for a long time. And finally, I felt independent enough that I could go and do it. So I went out and got my motorcycle license, and I was trying to be responsible in doing that. So I went and rented the gear needed to do it, trying not to invest too much before I knew that I actually enjoyed the process and the experience of riding a motorcycle. I got the jacket and the helmet and gloves, and then I went and did a two-day course on how to ride a motorcycle, at the end of which I got my learner's permit for motorcycles. In that experience, we had a few different bikes that we could try. And the one that I kept coming back to during that training course was a Honda CBR125. So it's basically the smallest motorcycle that Honda makes. I really enjoyed how light it was, how easy it was to ride. But the problem that I had was that I was trying to be frugal about it. Like I said, I was just trying to have fun with it. I only after getting to do the training course realized how much I enjoyed getting to ride around on the motorcycles. And I also knew that I didn't really want a big motorcycle for cruising on the highway or going very fast. I really liked it for driving around city streets. The training was on parking lot, and that was what I liked. It very much reminded me of riding a snowmobile, which I had done since I was 13 years old, as soon as I could get my snowmobile license, and something I really enjoyed doing with my grandpa. So I say all of this because it became a very emotional experience for me, right? It's my first year out in the world. It's something that I've been thinking about doing for a long time. And I felt like I was trying to do the right thing by not spending too much money. So I found that this model of motorcycle was actually not in production anymore. It had stopped a couple years before. So the only option that I had was to try and find a used one. So I, just like Whip It Beauty was saying, I found what seemed to be a legitimate ad using Auto Trader. And I thought that was more legitimate than trying to use something like Craigslist, because I was aware of that, right? I had just found a new apartment and had kind of seen some of these scams where the price is too good to be true. But I thought for sure that this was not going to be a scam because it was on Auto Trader, and that gave it some credibility in my mind. But because it was the cheapest one, I was willing to overlook a few things, including the fact that the guy said he was not here. So he had moved apparently from Toronto to the States. He lived down in Ohio or something now. And he had a friend that was storing it outside of the city. So I was not able to go see it. And he even had a phone number that I could call that was a Barrie phone number. If you're from Ontario, Toronto, you know. So it was a 705 number. And I called that number and the person picked up and said, yeah, I do. I have a towing service. And that made me comfortable enough to send money through MoneyGram. So you go to the post office and you can send money anonymously. And I took $1,000 out of my bank account and put it in an envelope. And looking back now, I'm thinking, how was I so willing to do this?
All of these little red flags. You're right. And this is the first time Ryan's told me this story in this much detail. I have heard about the story before, but it's true. It's kind of like once you get into something, you're like in so deep already. Mm-hmm. You've got emotional value. You've got an emotional relationship to the item or to the puppy already. You're like, oh no, I can just let that slide. Oh, he doesn't live here anymore. Okay, I'll let that slide. Oh, the guy picked up the phone, so he must be real, right? I talked to a real person.
So I sent the money, and it was the next day that it was supposed to come. And
was it a down payment or was it the whole thing?
It was the whole thing. It was $1,000 for the motorcycle, which
right.
I think it was about $1,250 to $2,000 for other ads. So this was just the cheapest one, and they got
me. Not that much cheaper, slightly cheaper.
Right. So I just sort, I do my search, I sort by least expensive, and it checks out, right? They even can put the mileage on it, and they put, ooh, it's a little bit higher mileage. So the lower
right.
price makes sense. There's all these things that someone who knows enough about this industry, so knows enough about Italian Greyhounds to answer questions, or knows enough about motorcycles to tell you why the price is low. And I just remember the night that I went and brought the money to the post office, I came home and I kept thinking, I should cancel that. I should cancel this. They have my bank information at the post office and they could just refund me the money. This doesn't feel right, but I really want this. And it just feels like the right thing to do. I'm going to do this. I'm doing it on my own. I'm going to stick to my guns. And it was the next day when I was supposed to get it, I got a call from the guy and he mumbled something about there being traffic being delayed. And it was supposed to be noon. And it was then 4 o'clock and 5 o'clock and 6 o'clock. And I called back. And then finally, I just stopped. They just stopped picking up.
Were you supposed to meet them somewhere?
No, the story was that this guy had a towing service. So the motorcycle was going to be put on a flatbed tow truck, because that's how you have to transfer a motorcycle, something they actually told us in the motorcycle training that I did, right? If you call CAA or call AAA, make sure to request a flatbed tow truck because they can't tow it like a regular car. So again, all these little things that line up, but looking back, it's very easy to see how I got scammed. Afterwards, I contacted the police, but basically I was told that it was too small to investigate and it was too complicated to investigate because it was someone in the States.
Oh, wow. And that's how they got you too.
Mm-hmm.
Because they said, oh, well, now he lives in the States, so that's not our jurisdiction.
Yep. And there's, I don't know what the actual laws are, but I'm sure there's a certain limit where it, at least in the States, from what I know from crime shows, like over 5,000 or over 10,000 is when it becomes.
Good old TV. That's how we learn.
Yeah. It's like the difference between a misdemeanor and a felony, and they're not going to.
Right.
Go after something that's so small. But the end of this story is that I did end up getting a motorcycle. I had it for a couple of years and then I actually sold it before I knew Jess. So she's never known me with a motorcycle, but
I have never known him.
I still own the, do I have the jacket or
no,
the,
didn't you sell the jacket?
I did.
I saw his stuff. So.
Yeah. So
and I was like, you have motorcycle equipment?
I do, but no motorcycle.
No motorcycle.
But I ended up going to a dealership and again, I was still in this emotional place of, oh, shoot, I got scammed. Okay, well, I'm not going to trust anything that's posted on classified website. I'm only going to trust that a dealer is going to be the right. A dealer is going to have a real thing and they're not going to be a fake person. I'm not trusting my own instincts anymore. But the problem is that I actually ended up getting a much bigger motorcycle than I planned on and spending way more than I would have. So I really wish that I had waited and then I maybe could have kind of recouped and restarted this process instead of jumping into the next one and being like, oh, I'm going to do it the right way and spend five times as much money as I meant to because the dealer only had the one and convinced me that I needed something bigger than what I felt like I did. My trust in myself had been shot.
Yeah. And I think that that is very connected to Italian Greyhounds as well, that if you feel like you were scammed, then it's hard to sort of, you know, get attached again. I'm also going to say that there are scams with adoptions as well. So I know we're talking about breeder scams in particular, but there are also scam websites out there and on Facebook, and they say that they are like a breed specific rescue or just a rescue in general, and they have Italian Greyhounds, and you think, oh great, well the adoption fee is cheaper than if I were to go to a breeder, but that's where they get you too, right? So, and they'll create a story around it. It's always a narrative that really gets people, and they're smart. That's why they can get, that's why they do this, because they found people fall for it.
It's funny. We've been trying to learn a lot more about running a business. So we have all of our products and trying to figure out what it is that people will want and get attached to and feel like they want to get from us because it fits with their identity and the story that goes along with it. So all of these things we're learning about how to do for our little small business and our legitimate enterprise here is exactly what the people who are trying to
tactics, like even
nothing.
The Italian Greyhounds Near Me Facebook group, by them writing that, it show like it can show up for people locally because it says Italian Greyhounds Near Me because of like search engine optimization. Something like that might actually make something pop up for people. So they're being smart about it. So you have to be smart about it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be wise. You have to be very present when you're reading ads or asking around.
Yeah. Okay. Well, our last little section here is about our final tips about how to avoid a scam. And I'm looking forward to getting through that and getting through this because I'm getting all palms sweaty and worked up about.
Doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
No.
Right? It's 5 or 6 years later now for me and I'm still.
Thanks for sharing.
I'm still
that,
sad that happened to me.
Yeah. It sticks with you, mm-hmm. you know? But that's why we're doing this episode as well, because we want you to know that it's okay. And like our friends, Whippet Beauty, they are getting the police involved and potentially there is something that they can do about getting their money back or at least getting justice for, you know, the scam. And even though it wasn't a happy ending for Ryan, you know, he was able to learn and love again. He got a motorcycle after that.
Yeah, I feel like that also helped me. Like I was saying, I had recently got my first apartment on my own, having searched for it. And I feel like from then on, I was more savvy in trying to buy and sell something used and trying to get new apartments and stuff. So
us too. Like we have found an apartment together and we're currently looking at real estate for certain things. And we still see scams online. There's apartments. apartment scams all the time. So this carries over to everything. All of these things we've learned about puppy scams carry it over into everything on your life, because the internet's a great place, but also the internet's not a great place sometimes. So what have we learned? Here we go. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. So if the pricing sounds right, or, you know, the videos or pictures they're sending you look good, it probably, like, not that it is not real, but if it sounds too good, yeah, there's something up.
Right. It will be too soon, or we have exactly what you're looking for, or the price is slightly better than everyone else, or any other kind of coincidence.
We'll give you exactly the dog that you want, like cookie cutter. We'll give you the right color. We'll give you the right size. These are all things that reputable breeders can't always control.
And they can't guarantee as well.
Right. And again, with wait lists and things like that, that's typical. So to have something pop up right overnight and we'll ship it to your door, it's too good to be true. Not true.
Try your best to see the dog in person as best you can, for how the gestures broadly. as well as you can. So see them in person, or try and get a virtual appointment by getting to see a video of the dog that's live, or even just video of the breeder taking and holding your puppy.
Right, because if they're not tech savvy and they don't know how to live stream or how to Zoom call you or something like that, at least if they have a video with their face talking and them holding their puppy, it's just a little bit more proof that it really is true.
Just talking on the phone really isn't good enough to prove that they're a real breeder. It is now even easier to spoof a phone number, right? You can get a Google phone plan for basically nothing, set up a local phone number, and then can be scammed by it seeming like they're a real person, but they can be a real person and not have the real product.
Right. And reasonable pricing can sometimes be a trick too. So we said, if it's too good to be true, that can be a red flag, but also reasonable pricing, because it's more believable that way. And if there's a story around it, if there's excuses, big red flags.
Do not pay until you know for sure. So until you've done some kind of checking, either seeing in person, a virtual appointment, talking to someone else, a testimonial or a review, or some other kind of clarification that they have these real dogs.
Another tip, read reviews if possible. So if your breeder has reviews, or someone in the community has a dog from the same breeder, ask them, get their honest opinion, because this is not what we talked about today, but puppy scams, yes, it's when they take your money and you don't get a dog out of it. But also, you could probably consider a scam sometimes, like, not puppy mills. Well, yes, puppy mills. But if someone is giving you a dog and it's not the description that you were told it would be. So sometimes this happens. Puppy mills, like we said, they're just in it for the money, and they'll give you a dog that maybe has a bunch of health problems, or they'll give you a dog that, again, doesn't fit the description, and maybe they lied about the background of this dog.
Right. It might have been an accidental breeding, and all they know is that they have a Vizsla dog.
Right.
And then it's an accidental breeding, and it turns out it's half German Shepherd, and you're going to have all these grooming bills that you had no idea about.
Right. Or just you didn't know what kind of a dog you were getting. I've heard of, well, especially with Italian greyhounds, you're probably not going to get a full-sized greyhound.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes if they say to you, oh yeah, they're small, the mother and father were only about 9 pounds. And then what happens when your dog turns to be 30 pounds? Something's up. That is not something that should happen. That either means that they spun you a story, or like Ryan was saying, it could have been an accidental breeding, or they lied about the history of the parents. So even though that's not the kind of scam we were talking about today, that is also, in my opinion, a form of a scam, that you're getting tricked into thinking you're getting something that you're not. So you might even receive a puppy.
Even if there is a real product, it might not be. What?
Exactly. Like if you bought a boat and someone gave you a not boat.
A canoe.
Well, yeah, you can still go on the water with it, but it's not what it was advertised.
And the last thing I will say here, from my perspective at least, is most scams involve some kind of emotional attachment. So they're trying to catch someone who is vulnerable because they're wanting something that is going to better their life in some way. And sometimes that's money. Sometimes that's give us your credit card for a free cruise. Right.
Right. So
They're trying to catch people at a time when they're not using their critical thinking skills. And I know it can be hard to slow down in a situation like this, but it can really be for the best if you take the time to do these few extra steps. Contact the community, look for reviews, think hard about the things that show up as red flags.
Be on alert.
Yeah.
So again, it's easy to feel like you're being scammed, even if it's not a scam. And I think also the shame that we have as new sort of like owners and like new to the community, people are scared to question because they don't want to offend people. And, you know, all of these questions might have reasonable answers, but if you're afraid to ask them, like a huge one for me is people are afraid to ask about genetic and health testing, and they're afraid to ask about the puppy's parents and stuff like that. But like, that's all so important. So don't be afraid to ask those things. And a real legitimate, responsible breeder is going to give you real answers, and they're going to admit to issues they've had with the line that your dog comes from or not. And if they're doing their job properly, it hopefully won't be a problem for you. Of course, these are live beings and things will happen, and no, there's no sort of cookie cutter perfect dog out there, but you know, breeders do their best. So just don't be afraid to ask questions. I think that's like a huge overarching theme. And I have one more thing to say here. When does Jess not have something else to say? But I think a question we get a lot is, what are you doing to help stop the puppy scams when they steal your photo? And what do you do feeling like you're always contributing to puppy scams if you're just posting on your Instagram all the time? Now, I do know of people who, when they post on Instagram, will write their handle and they'll like put it nice and small, I don't know, right beside their dog's face or on the dog's fur, sort of hidden. And I don't know if people are doing this just so that the pictures aren't repurposed without knowing who posted them first, or if it is to try and prevent puppy scams. But if you're drawing like a tiny little handle of your dog's name on a photo, people have ways around that. Like Ryan on Photoshop could take out anybody's handle and it's pretty easy, right? So that is probably not going to do anything. Now, the other thing I guess you could say is, well, what if I made my account private? That, I mean, that's always an answer. If you do feel like people are stealing your photos and you're not comfortable with it, you could do that. For us, we like to reach the community on a more public facing scale. So, you know, if we feel like something is off, then, you know, that's on an individual level. It's not a mass making private move. That sounds really weird, but hope you understand. And the other thing that you could do is watermark. Now, watermark is harder to remove, right, Ryan? Or are there ways?
It's more work, but it's the same process of putting, of just highlighting something and doing a content aware fill, and then it's gone, right? The photo editing software available now is going to be able to undo basically all of that. It
right.
will make it less desirable for someone just trying to grab photos and make money as quickly as they can, but it's not impossible.
Yeah. Anywho, that was just something I wanted to add, because it does feel awkward to have your photo stolen and feel like you're participating in some kind of scam, because it's your photography and it's your dog. But other than reporting and sharing your story on scam registries and getting the word out there, I don't know what else to do. And yes, sometimes the police can get involved if you have been scammed. So check about your area. Always a good thing if you can get your money back or at least get some justice there.
I feel like the best we can do is try and educate people and give them some tools about what they can ask for and give them confidence to ask the questions that need to be asked.
Absolutely.
I think that does it for us.
I think so too.
Yeah. Thanks so much. If you've enjoyed this episode, you can go and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. We don't often ask for reviews.
We should more.
Yeah.
Because we get, you know, new listeners, and it really helps us to get promoted in Apple Podcasts.
Mm-hmm. And if you have another story about a scam, feel free to send us a message and chat about it, and maybe we'll have a follow-up. We've done that before where we have
two-parters.
An episode about something and then a community episode where we have other people's stories. So not guaranteeing, but if you feel like you just want to get that off your chest, we're happy to chat. You can send us a message at the Iggy Parents or at Iggy Adelaide.
See you next time. Thanks for listening to this episode of The Iggy Parents.
If you enjoyed what you heard here today, we'd love if you left us a review. 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts help us get discovered by new Iggy parents and dog lovers alike.
You can subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening or wherever podcasts are found.
Our new vlog is going up on YouTube featuring Phoebe's journey through puppyhood.
Don't miss out on every pup date by subscribing to our newsletter at theiggyparents.com/newsletter.
As always, this podcast is brought to you by The Iggy Parents Shop. If you're looking for another way to support what we do here, check out our merch at theiggyparents.com/shop.
And don't forget to connect with us on Instagram by sharing your thoughts with us and your friends. Tag at The Iggy Parents, at Iggy Adelaide, and now you can even reach us at Iggy Phoebe.
Bye for now from Ryan,
Jess,
Adelaide,
and Phoebe.